Actually, you can probably hear my voice is where my passion really comes from, because I founded Email Counseling Academy for a couple of reasons, really. And one of them is because I want more clients to be able to access email counseling, because I know how powerful it is as a client. And I also know how powerful it is for clients to be able to access themselves. And I can't work with all the clients that want it. So I want more suitable counselors to be able to offer it professionally and in an ethical way.
Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. In today's episode, I'm joined by Chloe Foster, a humanistic counsellor with over 12 years' experience supporting LGBTQ plus people. Alongside their private practice at Sussex Rainbow Counselling, they are the founder of Email Counselling Academy, offering specialist professional training for therapists who want to develop their skills in email therapy. I invited Chloe on the podcast last year too, in episode 27, back in August 2024, where they talked about how she found her niche in LGBTQ plus counselling, how they managed to increase their fees, and their work in training therapists in transgender awareness. But I've invited Chloe back today because I felt that what they had to say about email counselling deserved its own special episode. So I wanted to bring her in so you could hear more about this growing way of working. So, welcome, Chloe.
Thanks for having me.
It's really great to see you again. So let's just start, though, with what actually is email counselling for people who are new to the idea?
Yeah, good question to start off with. I'm aware that many of your listeners, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of it, maybe clicked on it thinking, oh, what's that? Email counselling, in a nutshell, is a confidential therapeutic email exchange. It's all by text, so we don't see or hear each other. And there is a time delay. So there is an intentional time difference from when the client sends their email and then the counsellor replies, usually 2 days. And there is also a set word limit. So there's lots of boundaries around it to keep it contained. We're not just randomly sending emails backwards and forwards whenever mm-hmm. we fancy. Mm-hmm. They're therapeutic emails. We're using our counselling skills to listen into what we're hearing from the client. Mm-hmm. It's very different to how we might reply to a friend's email, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's definitely, obviously, it's a therapeutic email. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to do then, if sort of like you get an email from someone, is it quite a sort of reasonably long email where they lay out sort of different things that are going on for them, and then would you reply to them almost sort of point by point? How does it work?
In my private practice and the way that I train counsellors, I suggest starting with 500 words, word limit, which mm-hmm. might not sound like very much, mm-hmm. but actually you can say so much in that. And when I experienced it as a client myself, I was like, actually, I can really just get to the nuts and bolts of what do I really need to say here? Mm. There'd be so much fluff and waffle that I can often go into in a 50-minute session as a client myself. So it really helps the clients really keep contained and focused on what they want to say. In terms of how I would reply to a client, I sometimes might go point by point, but usually I would be more looking for the thread between what's going on for them and what they're saying. For example, they might just have sort of one short sentence at the end, which is actually really relating to what's going on throughout, which is kind of like the door handle moment that we know. We'll say something really, really big at the end of a session when they're in person or on video call. So we use our skills as qualified counsellors to adapt to working by text and to pull together what we're hearing from the client. So there could be some themes that are going on for what they're saying throughout the paragraphs and the emotions that we might be hearing, maybe some repeated words, some things that they may have said last week or a few weeks ago. So we're kind of really tapping into what's going on for them.
Yeah, so you're using all those counselling skills just in a different format. But what sort of struck me listening to you, do you ever find it a struggle to find anything? Or is it... Because 500 words doesn't sound like a lot to me. I just wondered if it is actually... Is it quite tricky to do?
Find anything in the client's words? How to respond to it? I always find something. In fact, I find the opposite. I always often find like, oh, there's so many things I want to say.
Yeah.
And I have to contain it. And the students that have done my courses are usually saying that, like, oh, there's more things they want to say. And they're kind of trying to keep it down. Because the way that we work is we make sure that it's equal. If we're going to create a word limit for our clients, we need to make sure that we also stick to the word limit ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because if we reply with 800 words, it makes it a bigger thing, and then it's even harder for the client to kind of keep that contained.
Yeah, and you're showing the boundaries there, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You're sticking with your boundaries and
being safe
from that point of view. Yeah, so actually... From what you're saying, there's actually a lot within those 500 words that you can find.
There's so much, and I think clients don't really realise, especially when they first start, like, oh, what are you going to pick up? What are you going to say? Like, what can you really help with? Mm. I mean, I suppose similar to any type of counselling, really, but especially with email, because they may not have heard of it themselves, and there's not so much kind of portrayal, really, in the popular media, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a kind of mystery to them, like, how is this going to work and how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. But actually, when I kind of start to pick up on some of the phrases or some of the things that they're kind of repeating that they may have said in the past, or some of the ways that they might describe their dad or their partner, or some of the words and some of the emotions that are coming up, maybe they've used an exclamation mark or capital letters. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And wondering about what's going on for them.
Yeah.
Just continually reflecting it back and offering questions to help them get deeper.
Go on. Yeah, I was going to ask that about, because, you know, obviously it's not like being in the room where you can just ask a clarifying question. Mm-hmm. Does that slow it down, do you think, or as a piece of work across sessions?
It definitely slows down, yes, because we haven't got the immediacy of kind of going backwards and forwards as we kind of connect with each other in the way that there's obviously we can say so many more words and cover more things in some senses if we're speaking for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But the depth and the focus is can often be missed for many clients.
Yeah.
Because they've kind of got too much space and too much time and too much kind of like kind of going backwards and forwards. And sometimes the counsellor might end up sort of derailing them a bit, inadvertently.
Hands up.
We all do. Sometimes we notice ourselves and we think, oh gosh, I ended up going down that road, and that may be what the client didn't want us to talk about.
Yeah.
So the client can actually be like, look, this is what I need to say here today.
Mm. Mm, yeah, so that brevity almost of the 500 words actually serves you and the client better because it stops you going off on these little tangents perhaps that might take you down a blind alley or something like that. I mean, I don't suppose it's ever wasted, but it's maybe more focused from what you're saying on really what the client is bringing. So the other thing I think that I needed to hear was the fact that it is just one email a week, isn't it? A series of emails, because I'd always imagined that you'd be sort of emailing backwards and forwards.
So just to describe on that, I think sometimes people think, oh god, is it only just that? That doesn't sound like very much, like from a client point of view. Am I not going to get very much?
Yeah.
But actually they get that time that they've made for themselves to write that email, and then they've got another time in the week where they get their reply from their counsellor and then they're reading it back.
Yeah.
But they can also keep that email and they can read it several times, and they can have several emails that they've got. So then at the end of their 20 sessions or whatever it might be that they have, they've got a series of emails that they can look back on, which they wouldn't have if they were working in a different way. But it's really important that there's not more than one email a week, I believe, because that could get very messy and very difficult especially from the counsellor's point of view to stay boundaried.
Yeah.
The 500 words email is something that I feel works. That's the way I train counsellors to do it, because in all the years that I was working as an email counsellor prior to starting to train counsellors, that is the number of words that I find work really well to use the 50 minutes. Well,
Because that's it, because that's the other thing, isn't it? Yeah, you're using, you just spend 50 minutes on it, like you would do if you were in the session with the client, yeah.
It's the same amount of time that I would use. And yes, you might think, oh, I type really fast, but actually...
As a
counsellor, you won't be typing that fast because you'll be pausing and be thinking, what do I really want to say here?
Yeah.
And usually people take way longer than that when they're in training and they're very, very early days of working as an email counsellor, and they might find that a challenge. So that's why I always say, don't start with more words, because you're going to make it even harder for yourself.
Yeah. So that's part of the reason for having that word limit. And do you find that, would you sort of sit down, open the email, and then sit down and answer it straight away? Or do you tend to, like, maybe get it, read it, and then go away and think about it and maybe come back to writing about it later? Or is it all contained in that 50 minutes session?
It depends on the way the email counsellor works. Mm-hmm. I personally prefer to, and this is the way that I teach it on the course, is I've set up like a step-by-step process so people know exactly what to do when they get that client's email. So the way that I would do it is I would carve out a time in my diary where I'm going to open that client's email. So they've got a time and date that they've agreed they're going to send it by. That doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly when I'm going to open it. For example, they might send it by 10 p.m. on a Monday, and I might be planning to open it up the next day at midday.
Yeah.
And then I've got that session time that I would have had with a video call or an in-person session to spend drafting that first email.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, when I was saying about the intentional two-day process where we wait to send our email, that is the time from when the client sends their email to then and when I reply. Because during that time, that 48 hours roughly, I've written my draft. And then the following day, I come back to my draft and I look at it again before I send it. That's really important to have those two steps to it.
Yeah.
To do that professionally, to do that well, because if we were just sort of dipping in and out of it and thinking, oh, just write a little bit here, a little bit there, and or maybe I'll just quickly, because the temptation to just I'll quickly open it and then send a reply, that's not the agreement that we've had with our clients. And then our client might randomly send us an email another time.
Yeah.
You know, we need to keep to it as much as they need to keep to it.
Yeah.
So boundaries are important in all aspects of counselling, but particularly in this way of working. For all of the things I've just said.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It is, to make it work, it needs to be quite boundaried. That's what you're saying, isn't it? Yeah, I was sort of wondering about neurodivergent clients as well, Chloe. Because, you know, I can imagine if you're in a face-to-face session with a neurodivergent client, and I'm speaking from personal experience here as somebody who's neurodivergent, you know, you go off on tangents, don't you? You can easily sort of disappear down a rabbit hole, I think, because you remember something else and then you'll talk about it. Does that still happen, do you think, when you receive emails from people who are neurodivergent, or do they tend to be more focused on the, if they're doing that 500 words?
I think, yes, it still can happen, but in a slightly different way, because obviously they know that they've not got you in front of them and they've kind of chosen the time they're going to do it, and they know they've got the word limit. The point on neurodivergent clients, I think, is interesting, because I actually work with lots of neurodivergent clients.
Yeah, I thought you might.
And this can be a really popular way of working. It doesn't
really
work for, it doesn't work for all neurodivergent clients. I mean, it doesn't work for everyone, obviously. And like, just like I was talking to a friend the other day, just like in-person counselling doesn't work for everyone. We might talk about the pros and cons of different ways of working. So for many people, they might like the time to process, having more processing time. They might struggle with memory. They might kind of have the kind of blip of kind of like, oh, I can't think of the word. And this can happen in all sections of our communities, not just neurodivergent people. But these are some of the common things that can be really helpful. Often people can really like the fact that they've kind of got their email to look back on, what did I say last time, rather than kind of waiting for the counsellor maybe to summarise what did we talk about last time, if they kind of quite remember. Because that's just the counsellor's sort of memory of it, and it's just vague notes. They can have that exactness, particularly in autistic clients, where they're kind of needing to kind of want to know exactly what's happened and where to following the rules and seeing where we came from and wanting to bounce off of that. The kind of more going down a rabbit hole kind of side of neurodivergence is interesting too, though, because the in-person or the live sessions, video call sessions, where we're working synchronously, that the fact that the counsellors there can sometimes be helpful to help pull them back. Yeah. But actually, we have to ask, is that necessarily helpful or not? And sometimes going down the rabbit hole can be really interesting and helpful for that client.
Yeah, yeah.
The way that they, when I work with clients, when they switch, because I often work with people where they switch, they're on video and then they switch to email or vice versa, can be really interesting to whether that kind of focuses them more or not. And often it does, and they go deeper and they can talk about something that they were finding too awkward or too embarrassing because they want to talk about their specialist subject, for example, because that feels safe and that feels comfortable and that's okay. But actually what they really want to talk about is sex or something like really embarrassing that they're just like, oh, I can't say that out loud.
And I mean, that sort of moves us on to, you know, people who might really benefit from email counselling, doesn't it? And can you sort of talk about, because you've had real success with it, haven't you, in terms of people wanting to use email counselling. Can you give us sort of like a broad idea of the types of people that you work with, who it seems to work really well with?
So I think might be helpful to put in at this point is during lockdowns, during the pandemic, my email counselling service really flourished.
Yeah.
The reason for that, I think, was because it was much more private. Because everyone's in the house and it's like, oh, it might be overheard, and where do they go to have their counselling session? Their kids are in another room, or their partner's there, and they haven't got this much privacy anymore.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of it's rippled on and continued because people are starting to realise that it's actually, it can be much more private. It can have a session in the middle of the night, for example, if they're a new parent. I mean, maybe not ideal, but it's more accessible. Some people, and back to neurodivergent clients, some people, their brains are much more active at night. They're able to think much more clearly than having a 9 a.m. session, which is just like, no way.
Yeah.
For example, so flexibility with parents, carers, shift workers, not having to have a set time each week.
Yeah.
Not having to, and being able to kind of move that around, but not having to keep asking their counsellor, when can I have it? It works well for people that are brand new to therapy. They might be really, really anxious about talking out loud. They've never had anybody listen to them before.
Yeah.
All ages really as well, particularly younger clients who are much more used to communicating by writing. They've grown up with phones in their pockets and typing to each other. And they are not in the generation where they have phoned their friends on landlines like I do. That's how they communicate. They don't want to phone the doctor for an appointment. They want to go on and they want to choose their time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, so it's just another.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can we make this much more accessible?
Yeah. So it's actually, for you, it's sort of like an accessibility, especially maybe amongst younger people, which is really interesting, isn't it? And obviously, like you said, sort of shift workers.
And older people and folks in menopause where their brain is just like, whoa, I can't think of a word. So it's, you know, all different ages. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So for sort of like, for some therapists, I know they're quite dubious about the idea of email counselling. So what's the most sort of common concerns that you hear from therapists when they're sort of asking you about email counselling? What do you think they would stop them from thinking about it? And how would you answer?
Great question, because yes, I've seen a lot of hesitation and I get kind of more honesty from my counsellor friends, but I do see this on social media as well.
Yeah.
People kind of like, oh, what is this? I don't know if it's proper. I was sceptical too when I first heard about it. I was like, how is this going to work? I think a really common one is people think that we're going to miss the depth because we can't see and hear the client.
Yeah.
We need to see and hear them. And if we think back to pre-pandemic, where there was this idea that counselling is only proper if we're in the room together and we need to sit on two chairs and have a clock and tissues, and this is just how we do it, and online on a video call, that's kind of like not really that proper. So email, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So, but then of course, nowadays, it's really normalised to do video sessions, isn't it? Email sessions, there's lots of scepticism still, and there's lots of people kind of worried about not being able to see the body language, not being able to see the client's face and hear them. However, I would ask you, if you're listening to this, if you're thinking that, do you ever work by telephone? because lots of people do. And I've done training and work really well with clients by telephone and aren't seeing the body language, aren't seeing the client's face. Of course, email counselling is different because we are not hearing the voice and it's not synchronous and we're writing. But it does go deeper. It definitely goes deeper from everything that you said earlier, because the clients are usually much more comfortable. And making it more comfortable and more accessible, I think, why wouldn't you? Because that's what's really important for the clients and the counsellors usually as well. Sitting in a room isn't usually that comfortable for a lot of people. For some people it is.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, you know, what you're saying is that there's almost like a degree of anonymity. Although the counsellor will know you and they'll know your email address, they won't necessarily know what you look like or what you sound like. It's just different, isn't it? People can have maybe more of a sense of confidentiality, perhaps, like you say, and also, you know, the stuff about not being overheard. But it does feel very private compared to actually visiting someone in a room and them seeing you face to face. I guess what I'm hearing is that it makes counselling more accessible for all sorts of people.
I was actually just thinking, just to add in another point before I came on the call, about how, reflecting back to many clients that I've worked with who, as I said at the beginning, I work with the queer community mostly. So coming out can be a big topic for many clients. And the way that they might want to come out to their parents, many, many, many people that I've worked with have wanted to send an email or a text to their parents. And this is very related to email counselling, because there's something about that safety, that kind of ability to be able to think really carefully, what do I want to say and what time do I want to send it? And then not have to be right in front of the counsellor or the parent or whatever the situation, and wait for their response and what's their face going to do and what they're going to say. And then it gives the other person the time to kind of process it and think about what they want to say back.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think it's very true. So I think one of the things that I hear is that clients won't be interested in email therapy. I saw a question recently. Someone said, do you think anybody actually wants email counselling? So what's your experience been?
Well, I think it's important that we market our services well, of course, as you very well know, that's your specialism, isn't it? That we need to let our clients know what we do. If it's something we do and we hide it away, then, yeah, of course our clients aren't going to ask for it because they don't even know you do it. It doesn't exist, which is why I've tried as much as possible to blog about it and be open about it on social media, podcasts and things like this, and to also let my clients know when they start with me, like, do you want email counselling? Not just the assumption that it's kind of like, okay, it's going to be on video call.
Yeah.
Like, these are the ways we can work. We can switch around. So absolutely, I get plenty of clients asking for it. And this is one of the reasons why I set up the training that I offer, because I can't work with all the clients that want to work with me, of course. But I want to have more experienced counsellors to do it. And people are prepared to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because as we spoke about in the last podcast, is I charge premium fees and clients are prepared to pay my fees for counselling. So they're happy to pay for email counselling, absolutely. We just need to be letting our clients know this is what we do.
Just a quick note, if you're listening in October 2025, I wanted to let you know what we're working on inside Therapy Growth Group right now. Next week, we are running our Make Your Profile Work intensive, a week focused on helping you write or refresh your therapy directory profile so that it really speaks to the clients you want to reach. And after that, we'll be turning our attention to ways to reach clients outside of your profile through things like blogging, social media, and personal outreach. So if you've been inspired by what Chloe's shared today about trying new ways of working and want to attract more of the right clients, then come and join us in Therapy Growth Group. You're going to find community, accountability so that you can get things done, and step-by-step guidance so you know how to grow your private practice. And it's one small, doable action at a time. Find out more at josephinehughes.com. Yeah. So it's interesting, actually, Chloe. So do you find that people will come to you and say, I'd like to see you for counselling, and then at that point, they might not be aware of email counselling, and you would tell them about it at that point?
A bit of a mixture, yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's that, and sometimes they've heard of me because they've heard about email counselling, and this is specifically coming because they want email counselling. Or it may be that they want the two, that they want to talk about gender, for example, and email counselling, and they're finding it really hard to find somebody who kind of has got experience in both.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Really interesting. So with the people that you've worked with, sorry, people who maybe you've trained, because I know you also sort of supervise people as well, don't you, with email counselling. So what's their experience been maybe working in other niches? Have they found that people are interested in email counselling as well?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. As I said before, it's all about kind of letting our clients know that this is what we do. So I have found an email therapist, like kind of mini directory on the Email Counselling Academy website that people who've done the course can be added onto. So there's on that they list kind of what their specialist areas of interest or specialism niches are, whatever you want to call it. And we've got a real range of different counsellors of the things that they work with. Mm. And it's interesting to see the different reasons why people come and choose an email counsellor.
Yeah.
And the slightly different types of clients that they're attracting compared to me in my practice.
Oh, that's really interesting. So people from all sorts of different niches, from what you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So it works well for people who find it really difficult to express their emotion. For example, people that specialise in like anger, for example, that can be a common one where people are like, oh, they're finding it really hard to just not express it necessarily, but to describe it and to what's going on there and to kind of pull that back. It works well with people exploring something really embarrassing and really awkward. Like I was saying before, a common example is sex, sexuality, kinks, BDSM, sex work, things that are kind of more stigmatized, polyamory, things that they're kind of really, maybe really uncomfortable about how their counsellor might respond to that.
Because I was wondering as well whether you might get people who perhaps are quite scared of telling you something, like, for example, you know, child sexual abuse, or they might be really worried that they're going to get over emotional when they see a client. I always remember a friend of mine saying the first session she had with a counsellor, she just cried for the entire session and she couldn't get anything out. You know, and I wonder if people like that might like it as well, because it gives them a little bit of separation, and it's sort of, I don't know, there's something about the, almost like the distance, because you're not seeing someone face to face, that makes it feel safer in a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The distance, and because there's a time delay, because you're sending it, because you're not right there, back and forward. Mm. Oh, what are they going to say? Oh, they're going to ask me something. They're going to ask me how I feel. And I'm just going to swell up and then crying the whole time.
Yeah.
So be able to take their time to write. So people who are feeling very intense emotions, grief is ever the big one too. Mm. So when we're going through really intense grief, we don't know if 2 p.m. on a Wednesday we're going to feel okay to be with our counsellor.
Yeah, true.
We might be, we might not. So if we're like, okay, I'm going to write my email, I'm saying as a client, for example, at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, you might be like, oh God, actually, no, it's just feeling too much, too intense. I'm going to wait a few hours and I'm going to do it this evening instead.
Yeah.
So the client can shift it around because they might not know how intense their emotions might be, that they're kind of really ready to be able to think about it and focus on it.
Mm.
Just need to go for a walk, and they actually talking about it is not going to maybe necessarily be that helpful in that moment.
And like you said, they can take their time, or you know, if they're crying, they can have a cry and then come back to it.
They can stop and start. Exactly.
So it's so useful from that point of view. So we've talked about the email counselling, who it works for and stuff, and I'm sure at this point people would love to hear about your email counselling academy and what you do and how you help people with learning how to do email counselling.
We run the Professional Certificate in Email Counselling, which is an in-depth 6-month course for qualified counsellors that includes interactive workshops, group supervision. There's specialist recorded learning modules and tutor feedback on your practice emails as well, and your contract. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole range of different things to get you up and running and confident to working with clients. This has really evolved from many times that the course has run mm-hmm. over the last couple of years so far. The time of recording, it started as a live 2-day course and then kind of kept growing and growing as these things do, because we realized there's actually more that people need to know.
Yeah,
we kind of added on extra workshops to kind of get more people more confident. It's like, actually, I think the course just needs to be bigger, needs to be more in depth. Mm-hmm. And it kind of switched to being self-paced, all recorded, so we didn't have the live stuff. We had that as a kind of an add-on that people could come to. And then actually what the feedback was showing is people actually wanted a bit of both mm. because people don't get round to doing recorded stuff.
Yeah.
Really, a lot of people don't. They think they're going to, and they think, oh, it's really flexible, but they don't. So actually having that support, that peer support and that tutor support, and most importantly, having lots of feedback from me, so that they know they're on the right lines and that they're feeling more confident, so they're ready to go and thinking yeah. about marketing, contracting. So there's lots of different areas that it covers. I don't know if this is a helpful point to pop in here, but if people are thinking about email counselling, but they're not sure, they've got some of the hesitations of the stuff that we said earlier. I did actually make a free quiz, mm-hmm. like multiple choice, really quick to do, and it's got the kind of common kind of things that people are worried about, to work out whether or not it would fit for you. Like,
brilliant.
Like to work out, like, you know, do you like to speak? Do you like to write? Like, you know, what?
Yeah.
Lots of details in that. And it gives you a score at the end, which I think has really helped people that have told me they've taken it, to think, actually, yeah, I really do want to do the training, or actually, no, I'm not really sure if it is. So you're not kind of wasting your time going down a route that's not going to work for you, or you're not kind of holding back from something that actually could be really good fit, but it's just because you're like, your friend thinks
yeah.
it's not going to work or something, for example.
So if you send me the link, I can put that in the show notes for people, which would Absolutely. Be brilliant, because yeah. that would be really great. So Chloe, there might be therapists who are listening and thinking, oh, this sounds quite simple, actually. I'd love to just add this into my offering. What would you say? Why should they perhaps pause and think about actually getting some specialist training in before they launch their email counselling service?
I think that's a really good point. And yeah, thank you for asking about that, because I think sometimes when I talk to other counsellors about that, sometimes I get a mixed opinion. Sometimes people are like, oh, God, that sounds really complicated. But then other people might be like, oh yeah, I'll do a bit of email. It's particularly just add it in, like just a bit between sessions. And actually that can be really problematic. And I would definitely warn people against trying that, because it's a really specialist skill and it needs to be done carefully and securely. We need to be really careful that we're using a very secure system and a secure email system, and that we've got a clear contract in place. And part of the training that I offer does include that, to get support to write that contract. So you've got all those boundaries in place. So you've created that together with the client, sorry, and agreed that, rather than just send me an email if you need help, because that can get really messy and really unboundaried.
Mm-hmm.
I think we also need to be thinking about assessing risk. And it can be really different when we're working by text, by email, because the client is writing. And like I've said before about it being more disinhibiting, so clients are more likely to be more open quicker. So they're much more likely to be more honest, which mm-hmm. can be really great, and we can get really deep and really powerful in the work. However, it can also mean that the clients are much more able to open up about really difficult things. If they're in a crisis situation, for example, if they might be suicidal. And that can be really scary to be landed with an email with a client saying something like that to us. So if we haven't got it properly set up and all the boundaries in place and knowing exactly what we're doing with our clients, it's really scary to be on mm-hmm. your own with that, and really unboundary, because the client doesn't know when are you going to reply, for example, and if you even got the email. And that's really messy, and something that we need to be building into the way that the therapeutic emails kind of exchange go backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And also in that, also I was going to say, is about supervision. It's really important that if we're working in any kind of different or specialist way of working as with clients that's not the traditional way that we've learned our initial training, that we access specialist supervision, mm-hmm. because it's unlikely that your usual supervisor will have any experience of this. And if you're going to them, talking to them about your clients by email, there will be some of the stuff they'll be able to help you with, but there'll be some unique challenges about how you work with email, with the time delay and by text, and some of the things that really challenging different things can come up that can be really important that we're reflecting on and getting that supervision in place. Also, insurance.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people don't always consider insurance as highly. They just think, oh, we'll just pay them a yearly thing and there we go off, and they've set it up and it just keeps going. But actually, what we need to be doing is if we are working in a different or specialist way, or we're adding something else to the way that we work, including offering training, by the way, we need to be letting our insurers know so that our insurers can add that to the insurance that they're offering. And it may be that the plan needs to change, the price needs to change, something like that, but that they've got that listed and that they know that you work in that way. Because if there was any issues, you're covered.
Yeah.
And if you go to your insurer and say, I'm going to start doing email counselling, it's very unlikely they're going to cover you. They're going to want to see your training, your certificate that you've done that. And if you just try and do it without bothering telling them, then of course that's really unethical and could cause a lot of problems if there was an issue and you needed to use that insurance.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be working in any way that we aren't covered.
Yeah. So they need to cover the risk effectively. And
absolutely.
Because they're maybe not familiar with email counselling themselves, they want to see that you are properly trained in email counselling.
And you've thought through all of that, you've got that support in place and you know what you're doing. And I think sometimes, we need to be careful really in our profession, because sometimes we can just think, oh, well, I'll just add a bit of this and a bit of that and different ways to make our service more accessible. But if we don't access that professional specialist training to add whatever it might be in, then we could get into lots of choppy waters, which is why I think, well, it's really important really to
And that's why you're offering the training, isn't it?
Do training. Yeah. And I think that's actually, you can probably hear my voice, is where my passion really comes from, because I founded Email Counselling Academy for a couple of reasons really, and one of them is because I want more clients to be able to access email counselling, because I know how powerful it is as a client, and I also know how powerful it is for clients to be able to access themselves, and I can't work with all the clients that want it. So I want more suitable counsellors to be able to offer it professionally and in a ethical way. But also I founded it because I want to be able to offer a go-to place that people can come and get confident in working with email counselling, rather than it just being a very short add-on to an other kind of counselling course or online counselling course they might have done, where they maybe haven't honed into it as much, or even worse, kind of not done any training on it and then they just think they'll jump into it. And I think that maybe in the past people might have thought, oh, I'll do a bit of email with my clients, if they couldn't find any training in it. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know that it was even a thing for it to be a specialist training. So I'm trying to give it more recognition that it needs, because there are really lots of complexities to it that I've really seen over the so many years that I've been working with clients, and the things that have come up that I can share with people and say, look, these are the things that you might come across, which is obviously I trained as a supervisor too for that too, so that I can give that back to the profession and help people be ready for what they might not know that they need to be prepared for. These are the things that might come up type thing.
Yeah. And then if somebody's, been listening to this and thinking, oh, this is, I don't need the quiz. I know I would like to do this. This is me. What's the next step that they should take to find out more?
So if you go onto the Email Counselling Academy website, it's emailcounsellingacademy.com, you will see the information there about the professional certificate in email counselling, which is the
initial course. There is an advanced one as well, but you would start with that one. Mm-hmm. At the moment, at the time of recording, the next cohort starts in January 2026, mm-hmm. but we're taking applications and doing interviews as we speak. So places are filled on a rolling basis. So the sooner people get their applications in, the better. And mm-hmm. I'll be filling over the next few months as we get yeah. closer to Christmas. So depending on when you hear this, there's limited spaces basically, and I'll be updating folks as we go along. If you're not sure, then feel free to email me and I'll be putting updates on the website to let people know how many spaces are left.
Yeah, and the website is...
It's emailcounsellingacademy.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Chloe, for coming into the studio today.
Thank
and
you.
Telling us all about email counselling. And I know that you offer so much in your course. I've spoken to people who've been through it in its various formats, and it's now developed even more. So a really great offer that you've got there for people. So thanks very much for telling us about it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.